Blog Talk Radio.
Singing to my did. 51X spot, flanker cross. Red left slot, 51X spot, flanker cross. Someone, right? 58! Blue, 58! All right, here we go. They're going to jump right here. You know they're going to jump. Everybody hold your water. Green right slot, 98 handoff solid on three. Ready? Balls, 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 balls.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
I'm the quarterback. Okay. Don't stop, homie.
I go to jail if I get sacked. Yeah. So block for me.
Eight ball in my corner pocket. It's on and popping. Got the whole club leading with it.
And body rocking.
Drunk driving in my cut, dog. I got my truck ball. 72 Tennessee Titans.
What up, dog? KB, right here inside the house. We're picking up the blood. Got Mad Money Mike behind the glass. Eddie Fane, co-host of the show, right here doing his job, doing what he needs to do. And the Florida Keys, Mad Money Mike down in Orlando. You won't get a more diverse operation than this, and you won't get a more split decision on this. This is not a show where you look to see your affirmation on your beliefs. You listen to this show, pick up the blitz, 527-0153. What's our number, Eddie?
It's 267-521-0153, but you were pretty close, though, bro. Good start.
Yeah, I got it. Good start. You do not listen to this show thinking that you're going to change your beliefs. Nah, I messed that up.
Okay. I don't think that anyone is listening to the show to change their beliefs, but you know what, Beck? We got a hell of a show tonight. You got any other comments you want to lead this thing off with, or you want me to give you a rundown of what we got going on tonight?
Before you get the rundown, I just want to make sure everybody knows that this is a PG-13 rated show.
Definitely.
And we are going to give it to you on the real deal status. That's how it's going to happen. We got E-Fan here, Mad Money Mike behind the glass, and that's how it's going to go down.
Boom.
Sorry if you got a problem with that. I'm sorry if you got a problem with what you hear tonight. If you do have a problem, make sure you bring it to the table at our phone number, at our cost, at our Twitter, and at our Facebook page.
Boom. I like it. Here's what we got for a rundown tonight, KB. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, man. We got a lot of little trades that are going around here before the draft's coming up. People are trading picks left and right, as usual. We got some new leagues. We got more football leagues starting up than I think I have girlfriends in my entire life, dude. So that's pretty impressive because God knows there's been a few.
Money with the sound effect on that?
I don't know. I don't know if we planned that little joke there, so I don't think that he had a good one. Mad Money, you got something good for that?
Nope,
catch
nothing on
that. How about that?
Yep, no, we've used that one to death. Listen, but anyways, though, we got the locked and loaded picks as usual. Portland might be good out there in the West. We're not really sure yet. The NCAA tournament, Jesus, this is like a debacle. If anybody has a perfect bracket out there, then you're out of your mind, dude. We've seen number one seeds go down to number 16 seeds for the first time in NCAA history. We got Russell Westbrook talk that Beck really is like dying to get into. We got a pissed off Vince McMahon because the XFL, his whole idea just got not only stolen but ripped off right out from under his nose. So we got that league that's going to be starting up. Yeah, right out from under his nose, man. It's unbelievable. We also got to update people on who in our little pool of the NCAA tournament is doing well and who just isn't, because I know somebody's close to last place and it sure shit ain't me. Sorry, it's PG-13, but you know, shit might get dropped now and then here and there. But hey, you know where we got to start, Mad Money? You want to cue that music? Because KB, I'm going to throw them up. You're going to slam them down. We got the locked and loaded picks of the week.
Get them going up. Get them going up so I can throw them in the hoop. Let's
ooh,
go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Ooh, yeah.
I rubber
ooh,
band
yeah.
around these dollar bills we're about to hand out to our listeners. That's
boom.
What I'm saying, man. Let's go.
You went 4 out of 5 last week, I believe. So well done again, KB. Well done again, KB. You are making people money. And if you want to listen, if you want more insider advice, it's 267-521-0153. Call us up. Starting off tonight at 7:05. Tip-off is 1 minute away. Now, there will be no Ty Lue because he stepped away as the head coach for health reasons, apparently. But everybody knows that Ty Lue hasn't been the head coach of that team since LeBron has ever put on a Cleveland jersey. There hasn't been a head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. But we got Toronto, a hot Toronto. I believe they've won 19 of the last 21. Going to Cleveland tonight, a game to watch. Cleveland minus one. DeMar DeRozan, well, he's probable. And actually, things are updating as we speak, but it's still minus one. So Toronto at Cleveland, minus one. KB, where are you going?
Minus one is a very hard pick on this game. You kidding me? Vegas giving us minus one? Minus one? That's what we're deciding on? Minus one? Minus one? I don't get it. There is no room for leeway right there. I will say first and foremost right here, don't bet this game. Do not bet this game. But if you had to bet this game, bet Cleveland.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you 100%. Toronto is hot. Cleveland could care less about the seeding as they go into the playoffs. I would absolutely bet this game and go with Toronto. And I think not only is Toronto going to win, Cleveland might come out actually trying to show a little bit of something considering Toronto is the best in the East right now as we speak. But I'm going to go Toronto all day long. Moving it right along, though, we got Memphis at Philadelphia. And the reason that this one's a little bit intriguing is because, well, Memphis sucks, as we all know. And Philadelphia is a weird team. I mean, the process, trusting the process, everyone wants to trust the process. I've processed it, and I've decided that they're pretty good. But guess what? Memphis at Philly. Philly minus 13. Big number. What's your thoughts, Beck?
Too big of a number, Eddie Thane. I'm right with you, dog.
I don't know, though, bro. Memphis is bad. Memphis is bad. Let's not forget that.
But don't forget that Marcus Gasol is really old.
So I don't even know if Marcus Gasol is going to play tonight, actually, to be honest with you. They have him listed as probable. I am going to go with Memphis as well. 13 is too big of a number, even though Philly's at home. Moving it right along. So we're on the same page. No, we're not on the same page. I got Toronto. You're going to take Cleveland. Or actually, I don't even know what your final call was on that. I don't really care. What was your final call on that Toronto-Cleveland one, just so we can reiterate, please?
I said no call, but if I
no
had
call.
To make
so
a call,
pass.
I was going to make Cleveland my call. But don't bet on that game is what I said.
All right. Well, here's the next one. New York at Miami. Miami minus 10. This is a sleeper of a game because although New York's not any good, they always give Miami problems. What's your thoughts, KB?
New York, Miami. One team's got a discombobulated head coach. One team's got a good head coach that's put together. I'm going to take Miami in that bet. I think Eric Spoelstra is a little underrated. Let's roll Miami.
With the minus 10 and Hassan Whiteside not playing, which I probably should have mentioned.
Hassan Whiteside not playing.
Hassan Whiteside is out. Dwayne Wade is in.
Dwayne Wade's got enough to keep it in the logistics of reality and get it done.
The thing is also, the Miami Heat play a way faster game when Hassan Whiteside is not in. They put up more points. And actually, to be honest with you, I never thought I'd say it, but Kelly Olynyk has been playing actually pretty damn well as of late. So,
He's quick, he's good, and he's great in transition.
He's not good. He's not good. He's been playing well, and they do seem to play better when he's on the floor. I hate Kelly Olynyk. If Kelly Olynyk was in a train accident, if he was riding the tri-rail to the stadium, which I doubt he ever would be, and that tri-rail went off the tracks, I wouldn't shed a tear. So later, Kelly Olynyk. But I'm going to have to go against the Miami Heat tonight. They will win the game, but they will not cover that 10 points. And moving right along, Charlotte at Brooklyn, a game nobody cares about. Pick 'em.
Charlotte and Brooklyn. Man.
More like who cares? It's the who cares game. Pick 'em. Point, dude.
Charlotte, I guess. I mean,
yeah, I go Charlotte, too. Let's just move along because, honestly, Jesus, who could care less? Next one, final one on the docket for tonight. L.A. Clippers at Milwaukee. Wow. Milwaukee, always an interesting team to kind of keep an eye on. Milwaukee minus 4.5. Who do you got, KB?
Wait, you said the L.A. Clippers at Milwaukee?
At Milwaukee.
Something tells me L.A. Clippers are going to steal that game or at least cover.
Okay, well, I'm going to go against the grain on that one and go with Milwaukee. And those would be your five locked and loaded picks of the week.
That number four pick was,
it was weak.
Why did we even talk about that? I mean,
it was there. You want to talk about another one? You want one more pick? You want a better one? This is a good one, actually. I can throw you a better one if you want. I got Indiana.
Yeah.
No,
upgrade,
here you go.
Upgrade that. Because then you know my old saying. You know, all these picks and everything are just like girlfriends. You don't trade in your old pick until you get the new upgrade.
I hope your girlfriend's not listening. Anyways, this is a good one because Indiana's actually an intriguing team to watch. So we got Indiana at New Orleans. That's a pick'em game. Who's winning the game back? Who's winning the game back? Who's winning the game between the Indiana?
I wasn't listening, man, because you told me you got me all worried. You got me all worried about my girlfriend listening to the thing. What was the pick again?
She doesn't listen to the show, dude. So don't worry about the damn thing. The pick is the Indiana Pacers at New Orleans Pelicans. Pick the game. Pick them straight up. Your call.
Pelicans.
And I'm going to go against you, Pacers. You've been doing better than I have. Things will change this week. And those were your locked and loaded picks. Done. Boom. Next segment. Move it along. KB?
Brought to you by Wild Dog Hot Sauce. Locked and loaded picks of the week every week here on Picking Up the Blitz. Contact us to get your Wild Dog Hot Sauce or email wilddoghotsauce@gmail.com. Those are your picks of the week.
Eddie, hey, bro, by the way,
controlling
the
show, he
is
the man.
Where's my wild dog hot sauce? Where's my wild dog hot sauce, by the way? I've been expecting a case of this for like 3 weeks now, and I've sent you my address multiple times, and
just like our sponsors, even though you are the co-host of the show, you have to email wilddoghotsauce@gmail.com, and you will be well compensated. Now, have you, just like me, have listened to the advertisement? How many times? Email wilddoghotsauce@gmail.com, and you have not emailed this guy yet and gotten your hot sauce? That's not on me, dog. That's on you.
I feel like this dude should be emailing me, giving me not only hot sauce, but a bunch of freaking praise for putting his stuff out here to all of our listeners, all the Blitz Brigade, all the Blitz faithful, man. I don't understand why this guy isn't. He has my email. Send him my way, bro. I'm not reaching out to him for some wild dog hot sauce. If it's as good as he says it is, let me get a freaking taste of it. Let me get a little freaking taste of it down here, all right? It's not that far of a freaking
Send him your email. Why are you trying to put more work my way?
I'll deal with it later. But hey, listen, moving along, man. We got to get moving along because you know this show only goes an hour and we got more than an hour's worth of stuff to talk about. The biggest move that happened, this draft coming up here, we know it's going to change so much so frequently, and we know it's going to keep on happening here, man. But the biggest pick, the biggest move that was made over the week was the New York Jets and the Indianapolis Colts doing a little switcheroo. And what the Jets did here is I'm really curious what Jets fans feel about this, because let me give you the actual logistics of what happened.
Well, before
here.
We get into that, we got a caller online. Let's go to the caller. It's called Driven Show.
Bring that blitz, boy.
I'm on there.
You're damn right. Who's this?
I don't know why you keep asking. Why do you keep asking? We get you on the air every time. Columbus from Brandon, P1 listener.
This is Caller Driven Show, so I can change the subject.
At any time, you direct the course of action that happens here on Picking Up the Blitz. You and the callers.
I do want to hear what Eddie had to say.
You got to promote the phone line,
too. I did want to hear what Eddie had to say, but I've got the I want to change the subject for an anniversary that I think maybe your listeners, some of them may be aware of it, but we all need to be aware of it. 55 years ago.
Somebody died, I can tell.
No, yes. 55 years ago on Saturday, that would be the anniversary, there was a welterweight championship fight in Madison Square Garden. Benny Kid Paray was the reigning welterweight champion. Emil Griffith was the challenger. They had exchanged the title back and forth through three fights. This, I think, was the third. fight. Griffith went down in the sixth round, but in the 12th, at 2 minutes and 9 seconds, he caught Perret on the ropes, and in the most blazing speed of punches that anybody had ever seen, 25 punches that came quicker than anybody could count at the time, had to go to slow motion to count them, knocked Perret out and dead. He didn't die until the 3rd of April, but he never regained consciousness.
Wait. So he literally was killed in the ring. They brought him to the hospital, and then he was put on life support, and then he didn't make it.
Essentially, yeah, essentially. There was a brain surgery operation in the hospital, but he never did regain consciousness.
Jesus. Boxing, huh?
You can see it on YouTube. They're good films of it. But with injuries today in football and basketball, I myself turn away from them. I can't bear to watch them. I saw this at the time, and it is truly horrific. There was nothing illegal about it. The referee was late in stopping the fight. Ruby Goldstein was the generally regarded as the best referee in the fight game at that time. Actually had a reputation for stopping fights a little too early. But Griffith slipped out of control, and Goldstein couldn't or wouldn't stop the fight in time.
Can you give us the names of the fighters one more time, Columbus, so that Matt Money can go ahead and throw that one up on the Blitz website? Because I feel like this is something that some people are going to really want to see. And I mean, I'm not trying to say that as a jerk because, you know, somebody obviously lost their life as this was happening. Mm-hmm. But this, what were the name of the fighters or the name of the fight and when this happened one more time?
It was the 24th of March, 1962, Madison Square Garden. The welterweight champion was Benny Kid Perret, a Cuban-American, P-A-R-E-T. And the challenger, former champion, was Emil Griffith. Griffith lived until 2013. Griffith finished with an 85-win, 24-loss record. But Perret only lived a week or so after
fight. How do you feel about that if you're a person and you literally knock somebody out so viciously in the ring that you end up taking their life? I mean, it's something that, as a boxer, I know boxing isn't what it used to be, and I think that you are a pretty big boxing aficionado. I know that you really love the sport, and I'm going to ask you one more question here after you answer this one. But how would you feel if you're that dude and you know that you took another man's life in the ring, and essentially that's got to stick with you forever? I mean, can you imagine what that guy went through, considering that he lived until 2013 and that, you know, that kind of always had to kind of sit there and as a nightmare, so to speak, you know, for the rest of his life?
No, I can't begin to imagine. I don't think anybody who hadn't been in that situation could. Perret, Griffith went to the hospital several times after the fight, but Perret's family wouldn't let him in the room, turned him away. And it must have stayed with him the rest of his life. But he continued to fight. He had a lot of fights after 1960. Oh. After 1962.
You just think that sort of thing would kind of stick with you forever. And my next question before I let KB take over, because I'm sure he has a few for you though, is, as we're talking boxing right now, which again completely has derailed us from what we're doing, but like we said, caller driven show multiple times, and I love when you call in with some stats like that, that things that we don't know about, and definitely YouTube highlights that we're gonna have to check out. As it stands right now, the state of boxing with Floyd Mayweather doing his antics, he's done. I mean, the Conor McGregor thing, whatever. We've already talked about that. We've buried that one. That one's done for. So I guess the next best thing is going to be the Triple G Canelo Alvarez fight, which is still going to go on. Although Canelo Alvarez tested positive for PEDs, steroids, but he says it was just bad meat that he ate down there in Mexico. Nobody really is buying that, whatever. At this point, I could care less about PEDs or the use of them by any athletes. If you wanted, you know, give these guys as much as they want, man, if it's going to make the sport more entertaining for me, if that's my personal opinion on it. These are the two best fighters right now that are out there. Does this intrigue you as a boxing fan from back in the day? I mean, do you still think that boxing is just in a state of, it's on its way out, and UFC is obviously on its way up, and there's just really no saving boxing at this point?
Well, I'm grateful for fighters like Canelo and Triple G. They harken back to the old days of the sport. They're emblematic of the old days of the sport. They're the real thing. They're all too rare now. I regret the passing of classical boxing. I sure do.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. KB, you got any thoughts? You want to talk boxing? You want to start talking a little bit of draft about what these New York Giants, because as we know, Columbus from Brandon got him,
With Mozart and Picasso, we can get into some real deal stuff that's happening today.
What do you want to talk about, man?
The caller had some great points, and I agree with all of them. And he is our caller of the year every year. He knows what he's talking about. But you got to look at the culture climate of everything that's happening today and know that there is no option but for people to lean the way of sensitivity and political correctness. And we could pick and choose any subject or issue to just pick apart on that on. So let's not go there, man. Where I want to go, because that is time wasting, man. We would waste a lot of time on that. But that was a great call by the caller. However, all right, let's get into it.
Let me just say one more thing. Goldstein, the referee, only refereed one bout after that. But he wrote a memoir. I have not read it, but he wrote a memoir that put a phrase into the sports language that has never gone out of the language, never will. He called his memoir "The Third Man in the Ring," and referees in boxing are, ever since, have been just referred to as the third man in the ring tonight is so and so, and that goes back to the title of Ruby Goldstein's memoir. He was a former fighter himself, so he knew about being first man in the ring, second man in the ring, and third man in the ring.
All right. Well, with our caller bringing that to my attention, man, we got another caller in line that we're gonna get to. But Brandon for Columbus, I mean that's just I'm not gonna let it go unsaid as the host of this show. I mean it's a fighting sport, and in today's cultural climate, there's a lot of people that can't deal with what goes down, and it's due to their sensitivity and wanna be politically correctness. That's everybody's just got to come off. Come on, don't act like you're so sensitive. Don't act like you want to be so politically correct because you're making yourself look like a fool, And our caller, our previous caller here, talking about a boxing match, proved that. And we could prove it to you on stats, statistics, and watching football games from this season. But let's go to our next caller here on Picking Up the Blitz.
Bring that blitz, caller. Where you calling from? Bring the blitz. Bye.
Hey, this is Don from New Jersey.
Hey, Don.
I'm a
big-time
Giant fan.
All right, what's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, I just got back from the Keys. I've been living down here for a couple of years, but I'm a season ticket holder with the Giants, and I got back up here with my old-time buddies, and we're kind of figuring, what do you guys think about Beckham? Be interested to see, because I'll tell you what, when I got back up here, I was kind of surprised what everybody was saying.
What was everybody saying up there?
Everybody's not pro-Beckham up here. The old-time fans are saying enough's enough, you know. We kind of built everything on hard-nosed football, and this kid comes in here now, and he kind of disrespects the team and disrespects the fans, and we're just kind of tired from it, and we definitely don't want to see him get that kind of contract, and there's a lot of dissension going on about it.
KB, you want to take this one as a Giants fan, or you want me to go ahead and start with this?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter either way. I think we might be in the same congruency here with the conversation. Odell Beckham Jr., he's made himself publicly like not a
he's
good
made
dude.
Himself. He's made himself more than the team. And I think that what the caller's saying as he's back there in New Jersey now, and I think that you can agree with this, Beck, is the fact that the New York Giants are based on a certain culture of football. And this guy has, with social media, with the cocaine incident of the stripper, not stripper, I don't know if she's a stripper, Instagram model doing the cocaine as he's smoking a blunt or eating a piece of pizza crust, which we will never know, or if he's pissing on the ball as an end zone celebration. I think that the New York Giant culture just doesn't stand for that kind of shit. These antics, these shenanigans, this hood, it's like he's acting like a hooligan, and he's put himself so far above the team that I think that with what you would agree with, I think what our previous caller would agree with, I think that what Donald from New Jersey would agree with, is that it's time for this guy to go. And it's just because if you give him the big contract and you give him the big money, how many other headaches it's not the kind of guy that you want as a receiver to be worrying about. You don't want to have
to worry about him
out there.
Not to break in on this either, but you know what? The guy's coming off an ankle injury too.
Boom.
And I'll tell you what, wide receivers on an ankle injury, I mean, the ankle's a pretty tough bone to come back from. So you don't know, you know, what he's about. And hey, even if he is the best receiver in football, you know what? Nobody's bigger than the team.
Absolutely.
And that's what he's cutting on. That's what he's cutting on. And he's a perimeter player. He's a perimeter perennial all-star player. But that doesn't really help the team when the interior is the problem. He could change games in one catch and run. I understand that. But you have to be systematically better as a team. And the Giants seem to understand that. And the Giants, Dave Gettleman, the new general manager, mark my words here on Picking Up the Blitz, they will not be held hostage to Odell Beckham Jr.
I definitely agree with that.
Eddie, you know more than anybody on this show that as Odell Beckham Jr. made more love to the kicking net and all these problems that he's created, all I said was, hey, man, he's a great player. He's created. He can shuck and jive with the best of them. He can shuck and jive on a slant and take it to the house. But you can't count on that to win games. What you can count on is Odell Beckham Jr. causing problems that you have to solve in the locker room. And when you have to solve those problems with Odell Beckham Jr. being a $110 million wide receiver, you're better off catering to your 39-year-old quarterback.
Listen, you know what? How many good linemen can the Giants get if they trade Beckham away? You know what? The Giants' offensive line needs...
None. Nobody wants Odell Beckham Jr. Trading Odell Beckham Jr. is not an option.
There's some place out there. Believe me, Dominic Sue's going to go to Oakland. Oakland's a fine place for guys like that.
The NFL,
you know what,
very rarely does play for player trades. Odell Beckham Jr. being traded is a very big long shot. Almost non-existent.
How about a one-year contract?
Speculation.
What'd
you say? But continue.
I'd like to hear your hypothetical theory. So continue, caller.
I say give him a 1 year contract and show us what you can do. First of all, show us that you're mature enough to play in the NFL and play for the Giants. And second of all, show us you're healthy.
And third of all, cut the Instagram shit out. Just cut all that stuff. Just cut it out. Just please, Odell, think about how much money you could be leaving. Just stop with these stupid things. Who's taking the video of the girl cutting up cocaine or whatever the substance is with you holding whatever you're holding your hand? What is the point of that hitting the internet? What good does that do for you besides one more stupid thing to get your freaking name in? What was the point of taking the yacht down there before a playoff game 2 years ago?
Boston
what
is a playoff.
The point of this game? You know what I mean?
Hey, did you guys hear what Chris Carter said?
No,
fill us in here.
Okay, Chris Carter, you know who he is, right? The old-time receiver.
All-time
He tried to mentor Randy Moss and get him straight. And Randy Moss was just too screwed up to do it. Well, he tried to mentor Beckham, too.
Well, when you say that, I must be in an argument mood. because Randy Moss was a badass dude, but Tom Brady got him straight. But anyway,
yeah, but
go,
he was also a great receiver. That you know what could have been something so much better. But this Carter tried to mentor him and did a good job with him. Well, he's mentoring Beckham. He got on the radio. He got on the show the other night, and he just ripped him apart. He said, "That's it. I can't take this." He goes, "What the hell is wrong with this guy?"
What was the show? What was that? Speak for Yourself.
One of those shows he's on. He's a commentator, and he does it. But he was just furious with Beckham. He said he's had enough with him.
Here we go, guys. Real quick, the Odell Beckham thing. We're gonna have to see how it plays out, Don. We are gonna have to go over to commercial break. We do appreciate the call. Before we let you go. Giants are sitting there with a second-round pick. KB thinks that they should trade it away. He's got a whole spiel he's about to go on for about the next 15 minutes. I can already tell it's coming. What are your thoughts on what the Giants should do with that second-round pick? Do they go quarterback? Because according to Beck, Eli has 5 years left. And I find that to be highly, highly unlikely. But they, you know, maybe they're going to revamp the offensive line. And Eli is very good at not being injured, as we know. He's never missed a game due to injury. So I'm just asking, curious, in 30 seconds before we cut to commercial, what you think that the Giants should do with that second round pick? Second overall pick.
I think you got to wait and see who the Giants take in the first pick, because everybody's so sold on them taking a quarterback. All right, there's a lot of people up here that are saying, hey, this guy from Penn State, this running back, he's the best thing from 20 years to come down the pipe. You give the Giants a halfway decent offensive line. Eli does have 4 or 5 years left. You know,
you're dreaming.
What's wrong with the guy?
You're dreaming. He doesn't have 4 or 5 years left, and if it's not going to be injury, it's going to be a decline. But listen, Donald, thank you so much for the call, man. We always appreciate it. Thanks for joining the Blitz Brigade. We really love your opinion.
Great show, guys. I appreciate it. I'll listen to you
absolutely.
All the time.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. I like this guy.
He's part of the Blitz Brigade for sure. Pick up the Blitz. KB, Ethane, Mad Money Mike.
This is KB from Pick 'em to the Blitz with KB and Ethane. Ethane and I pick up a lot of our NBA material from PrimeCombine.com. It's a lifestyle blog that features current articles on sports, entertainment, and lifestyle topics. If you're tired of scrolling through your newsfeed just like me and seeing a bunch of garbage, you got to go check out PrimeCombine.com. It's updated daily, and I guarantee you, you will find something that interests you. Again, that is PrimeCombine.com.
Picking up the Blitz with KB and Ethane is brought to you by the Near Food Mart on 1856 Valley Avenue, right across the street from the Premier Ford dealership. Near Food Mart is famous in Winchester for their Cajun-style crispy, crunchy fried chicken. Not only does Near Food Mart have the best fried chicken in town, they got the best wings too. And no need to drink and drive to get there, our good friend of the show, Roz, will deliver the chicken and booze right to you. You make sure you call Raj from the Near Food Mart at 540-450-8107. Find the Near Food Mart on Facebook, too.
Wild Dog Hot Sauce is a Caribbean-influenced hot sauce that will enhance and complement the flavor of almost any dish. Use it often and enjoy. It's addictive. It'll get you lit. Mild, mango, and kiwi, Wild Dog's got what you need. Email wilddoghotsauce@gmail.com for your first bottle of that bold flavor, and you'll know what KB and Ethan are talking about with their bold Wild Dog picks of the week every week here on Picking Up the Blitz.
You're back inside Picking of the Blitz with Kyle Beck, Eddie Fane, Matt Money, Mike. We're holding it down for you. I hope you like sports betting. I hope you like gambling, because we're here to make you money. Fantasy football, I know it's not the time, but you want to be listening so you stay in prime time and get what you need in order to win when it comes to draft time. You got to be watching these guys. You got to be watching. You got to be watching training camp. You got to be handling these things. Mad Money Mike, what's going down there in Charlotte, bro?
Breaking news here about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. Looks like UNC, Carolina Panthers just reached one of the highest bids for buying a sport or a team. $2.5 billion is the highest we got right now. And the highest that was ever sold was for $2.2 billion back in 2017 for the Houston Rockets.
Steve Ballmer?
For the Houston Rockets.
I figured it would have been Steve Ballmer for the Clippers for $2
billion. Nah, Rockets for $2.2, so.
All right. Hey, now I know Eddie Fane wants to get into another subject.
Wait, before we jump off of this, why would the Carolina Panthers be that worth that much money?
No,
I understand.
They're not.
We all went up, wait. We've all lived in Charlotte
together.
And the fan
give
base is there.
Don't
I understand that the fan base is there, but how the – just let it drop.
Don't go back.
Mad Money's news and just say, meh, push that shit to the side.
I mean, unless Mad Money can explain it, how would we? We don't know. Don't act like you're going to go back and know.
Well,
I'll tell you this real quick.
They're actually valued by Forbes at $2.3 billion. $2.5, that's, well, you know, whoop-dee. It's pocket change at that point. But, yeah, you're right, Fane. They're not worth $2.5, but $2.3.
I just wonder what would
it's
be
the
selling
future
point
market.
There. Because I do think that the stadium sells out probably because it seems like a decent fan base. I mean, Mad Money, you lived there longer than all of us, and you are a fan of the team. It seems like there's a strong interest there, so they obviously are making revenue. They have a star player and maybe an up-and-coming star player with Christian McCaffrey, so maybe. I just wouldn't think of that organization. But then again,
are we talking about the Hornets or the Panthers? I can't tell. They're both terrible. They both got Kemba Walker or Cam Newton, two dudes you can't trust running the helm.
Why are we talking about these teams? Kemba Walker is really, really good. Why is he not on a better team, Eddie? Because they're not going to let him go back. Because when you have a star player that you can get, that's your guy, and that's the guy that they go with.
You're going to hold him down
Kemba
to mediocrity. You're going to hold him down to mediocrity. No.
Moving along from the break.
I knew it was a bad idea. Good job, producer Mad Money Mike. Way to let me bring this whole subject up. I knew it was going to be a bad idea.
Listen, man, before we even had the callers, I tried to drop this news 20 minutes ago. It was the biggest news that happened here. And this, Beck or Mad Money or callers, whoever wants to give me their opinion.
Just defer to Mad Money from here on out on the show.
Listen to what the Colts have done here. Or listen to what the Jets have done here. Now, the Jets have traded with the Colts, and they've moved up to get the number 3 pick in the draft. Okay. The Jets have also went ahead and signed, what's his name? Teddy Bridgewater, right? So, we don't know what his health is. Teddy Bridgewater's there.
Okay. How does that make sense?
Just want to tell you that when number 3, everyone's kind of assuming that the Jets are going for a quarterback, that that's the reason that they wanted to do this. But let me give you the logistics of exactly what happened here. So the Colts give the Jets the number 3 pick. That's what the Jets received. The Colts, in return, will receive a 2018 first-round pick, the 6th pick. So they drop from 3 to 6. They're also getting, in his draft, 2018, a second round, the 37th pick. In 2018, second round, the 49th pick. And 2019, the second round, 14. Well, I can't remember what I wrote down there, but it's a second round pick, and it doesn't matter. So if you're going to tell me, and as you and I both know, that there's so many top 5, top 10 picks, well, more top 5, that turn out to be busts, than you ever – you always forget who these guys are because every year it happens time and time and time again. And every year we find guys in the second round that are superstars in the NFL. I mean, that's just what happens here. So what are the Jets doing and what are they thinking? Because now, as I'm looking at an NFL mock draft per BleacherReport.com, New York Jets, Josh Rosen, quarterback UCLA. However, the other mock draft has Baker Mayfield. That was the number one quarterback that's been taken. And as we've said 150 freaking times on this show, they don't mean shit, these mock drafts. They do not mean anything. They are ridiculous. But the New York Jets are obviously going for a quarterback. But to give up all that other stuff when the New York Jets have nothing around them to throw a rookie into the fire, considering we don't know what Teddy Bridgewater's health is. And I think they signed another quarterback, too. I can't remember exactly who the hell it is, but I know that they got another guy on that roster. It just seems like if you're a New York Jets fan, you can't be happy with this. You cannot be happy with this to give up this many picks for a guy in Josh Rosen that people are starting to get more and more down on. And not to mention, can I also just real quick give you on this particular NFL mock draft per BleacherReport.com, the number one overall pick on this particular draft, Baker Mayfield to the Cleveland Browns. So let's not take this thing with a grain of salt. Let's take this thing with a grain of salt because this doesn't make any sense to me. They got Saquon Barkley way, way, way down. They got Lamar Jackson at number five. It's not making sense. Everybody's mock draft is basically just a hodgepodge to throw a bunch of shit out there. However, what I am asking you, Beck, I'm going to ask you the same thing about the New York Giants as I've been asking, but if you're the New York Jets, the other New York team, you think this is a smart move that they've just made here?
I'll tell you what. It's too damn hot for a penguin to be out here.
Yep.
The New York Jets have made a terrible decision. Just like they always do. They jumped up to number three.
From six.
With the guarantee in their mind that the New York Giants are taking Saquon Barkley at number two. There's nothing in the rule book that says the Giants have to take Saquon Barkley at number two. They have a bunch of serviceable running backs.
No, they don't. Keep going. I'm sorry to interrupt. But no, they don't have a bunch of serviceable running backs. You have a garbage running back.
Well, Eddie, Saquon Barkley, I hate to tell you, is not a 25-30 Le'Veon Bell carry the ball kind of guy. He touched the ball 20 times a game in his career at Penn State. He is not a 25-30 carry back. You'd like to think he is. You'd like to think he's the power back, but he is actually a home run hitter. That's what he is. He can grind to small yards, but you cannot guarantee that he's going to convert the short yards. That's my statement.
Okay, so where you stand on Saquon Barkley is that you're not sold on him, and you don't think that he's the back of the future for the New York Giants. Now,
hold on. Before you put words in my mouth, I think that Saquon Barkley is a top-tier, top-10 running back in the NFL. But you cannot put yourself in a situation where the Jets trade up so highly, give up so many picks to get up to the number three spot from the Colts, who the Colts, the only reason they bailed out of that spot is because they already have what they think is their quarterback, Andrew Luck, barring shoulder injury. The Jets are thinking that the Giants are drafting Barkley, but in reality what has happened is that the Jets have increased the value of the number two pick in this draft tremendously, because you're either going to end up in the number one pick with Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, in the number two pick, Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen, and then in the number three pick, Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen. And I know that you have a strong opinion on both of these quarterbacks, Eddie.
Well, if you're going to go Baker Mayfield, he's at the bottom of the barrel. I mean,
You came out like I was trying to light a candle or something. I thought you were going to come out hot. You've been calling out Baker Mayfield for a long time. You've had his back for quite a while.
Because I think that there might be some talent there, but I think that there's a lot more sure things with Sam, with both Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rose, all the
okay,
all
okay,
the,
okay.
All
no, no,
the,
those guys aside, that's not what we're talking about. We're
what
not
are we talking,
talking about Josh Rosen. We're not talking about Sam Darnold. What we're talking about is Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Those are the people in the third picked quarterback category. Those are what you're looking at. You know Darnold and Rosen's going 1 and 2. But who's going 3?
I don't think
be
that
Allen?
I still don't
is
think
it going to be Mayfield?
Okay. I would say that it would be Allen is going to be the third quarterback picked. I also think that Lamar Jackson is being completely underrated as a quarterback. I do not understand why Bill Polian is saying that he should be playing receiver. That makes no sense to me. But between Lamar
Who's
Jackson
listening and to Bill Polian about that,
everybody
I mean,
apparently,
this is,
everybody
this
apparently
is not,
thinks that old
this
ass
is not,
Polian's old ass face is the reason that he's the face of football. He looks
up.
Like
this
he looks like a football. His leather old face, man. Bill Polian apparently is like God to everybody. Every word that Bill Polian speaks is an
it's
NFL executive.
It's not even on the radar.
Here's the deal. Yeah. Hey, I know you feel the same way about Lamar Jackson because, listen, man, you called Lamar Jackson back in the day before his Heisman 2 years ago, and you told me, you know, and I thought he was going to get into trouble because he's so damn stupid. I mean, he's, like, literally illiterate. Like, I know for a fact that kid did not pass one test in college, but he's a hell of an athlete. He's a hell of a football player. And guess what? He's a hell of a human being because he didn't get into any trouble. He completely played his college career right. He deserves to be drafted high. And, hell, if he's sitting back there and the Dolphins now have a load of picks, give me that guy. And, yeah, if you want to use him for receiver until you realize that Tannehill is going to freaking just screw up like he's going to do, then, yeah, give me Lamar Jackson. Hey, hell, I'm just saying with Baker Mayfield, man, I just don't want to be fooled with this guy. And the reason that you have caught me so off guard here, Beck, is because all day today, when I've been talking to you on the phone, pre-show, this and that and this, that and this, this and that, you've been telling me that the New York Giants need to trade away the second pick. That's what you are still sticking by your guns there, right? Am I correct?
I'm cool with Barkley or trading away. That's
now,
what that team needs to do.
And it just caught me completely off guard because when I just pulled up a different mock draft, again, a stupid mock draft. I'm really over these freaking things, dude. I really am.
You just
stop for 2 seconds. It had the Buffalo Bills as the number 2 pick. Okay? So I immediately started getting on the computer here to see if that was just fake news or what the hell that was, man. And apparently it is, thank God, because I could not have you 3/4 of the way of this show being through, being right, and you gloating for the next 15 minutes. I just could not have
it. No, I don't gloat. I'm the goat. I
don't
gloat, dude.
No, you're the goat. You don't gloat.
The goat don't gloat.
Here's the deal, though, man. Are you still sticking by your guns that the New York Giants need to trade away that second pick because you don't think that they need a quarterback
they
because they're going
to
have to sign in for five more? I'm not done talking. Because you think, and Don thinks, and Columbus thinks that Eli Manning is this. I know he's like your hero because he won you 2 Super Bowls by the grace of God. He's not going to be in the league for 5 more years. He's had terrible seasons over the last few. Like, he's not very good anymore. So it's not the injury thing that you need to think about. It's the fact that, maybe this guy's just kind of lost it a little bit. Maybe there's a little less zip on the ball. Maybe he's not doing what he used to do, and maybe he's not capable of doing what he used to do, whether it be age, whether it be hair. I know injury's not the issue, but, hey, man, guess what? With management benching him, I would not be surprised if they go in a different direction with either the quarterback or Saquon Barkley. I do not see in any circumstance the New York Giants trading away the second pick because Eli Manning, I hate to break it to all the Giants fans, is not going to be your quarterback for more than 3 years. 3 more years, maybe. I'm going to give it 2, and that's about it. And he might finish his career somewhere else, but he's going to be a Giant for about 2 more years, tops. 3. Don't give me 5 or 6, bro. This is not Tom Brady. This is not the New England Patriots organization. Even though you guys are the ones that beat them, you guys are the ones that have shoved it right in their mouth. This is Eli's thing is coming to an end faster than all of you seem to realize. And now I'm done. Now you can speak.
Okay. Listen. You should know. Look at what's going down in Miami.
Don't do
you
that.
Guys,
don't
you, guys are you guys are you guys are hoping.
Don't you just change the subject?
No. It's a complete.
Don't do that.
It's a completely. We're talking about not a comparison, an analogy.
Come on, get the hell out of here. You can't do. You can't just go. Oh,
but
well, Giants
but
fan.
Think about it. If you are a team that's like Miami, then you are still looking for a quarterback because Ryan Tannehill has proven nothing to you. He's not done anything to you. He's not done anything for you. He has only gotten injured and earned zero respect from anybody on the team. Eli Manning has had a home in that New York Giants locker room for years. He's a 2-time Super Bowl winning champ. He's a 2-time Super Bowl MVP champ. This guy, and Eddie, you said 3 years max. If he has 3 years, great. That's all
we
need.
When you guys
need
5, you're out of your minds.
That's all we need. That's all we need. Give me 3. Give me 3.
5. Keep saying 5. Every one of you guys keep saying 5. Like, what are you
doing? Let's get down to the brass tacks of the situation. Is that when the Jets traded with the Colts to move up to the number 3 pick, they did that in their minds with the idea that the Giants were going to take Saquon Barkley at number 2, and they would get their quarterback of choice, either Sam Barkley or Josh Rosen, at the number 3 spot, whoever the Browns decided not to draft. What is going to happen in reality, I think, in this year's draft, is a very high-caliber quarterback draft. And I think that people will move up. Arizona will move up. Somebody will move up and take that pick from the Giants to beat the Jets to their pick.
Okay, again, we got to drop it. We got to drop it because we're running out of time. We could talk about this until we're blue in the face, man. Because it makes no sense. And
all right, let's hop over to the NBA.
There you go. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Now, last night, the Boston Celtics beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 199 in a very close battle. The discrepancy in why we're talking about this right now before the show ends, Eddie, is because Paul George hit a 3, Carmelo hit 2 threes, and that was supposed to decide the game. Towards the end of the game, Carmelo missed 2 free throws, which caused Boston to get an opportunity to hit a 3 to win, which Marcus Morris hit to win at the end of the game. Now, I've given that to you in pretty blunt terms. I want your breakdown on those 3 schmoes of players.
Well, it just kind of sucks the fact that they just can't seem to make it work out there. And I think that you're right when you were talking about just Russell Westbrook, how much he stat packs. And it's just stat padding, I guess you should say. The guy's a phenomenal player, one of the best in the league, plays harder than hell every night. People can't play with him. People can't win with him. Carmelo, I mean, he doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Carmelo just wants a paycheck. But Paul George is gone. He will not stick around OKC. George.
Wait, go back to Carmelo.
Carmelo's gone.
Carmelo hit his two spot up threes.
Yeah.
To put him in a position to win the game. But then he bricked 2 free throws to lose them the game.
And do
I mean,
you think
Carmelo cared one bit
about the loss? You think he cared one bit about the loss as he walked in the locker room? No, he doesn't. He doesn't care. Carmelo's not that guy. He's not built like that.
Here's the deal, Eddie. I think Carmelo does care about the loss, but I think he's not good enough to do anything about it.
I don't think that if Car- – yeah, yeah, I can agree with that. I just don't know what Carmelo's game is besides a scorer and just a lack of defense, and now he's gotten fatter and older, and he just is give me my paycheck, la-la,
fucking-
don't.
Oh.
Whoa, you went so close, Beck. It was PG-13. Oh, no, PG-13, you're allowed one per show, Mad Money said. The SEC allowed one
F word. His girlfriend, Mad Money, edited that out for the podcast. Eddie,
boom.
His girlfriend is named Lala. Carlo.
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But anyway, he still lives in La La Land.
Beck.
He still lives in La La Land. Doesn't make sense. And
either way,
Russell Westbrook.
We're running out of time here. Here's what it is, and I know what you want to say. So just get to your Russell Westbrook point. I want to hear exactly what you got to say. You got 30 seconds to drop it. Tell me about Russell Westbrook in your eyes.
What I see from Russell Westbrook is somebody that you can put on the spot and let him try way too hard because he won't use his ancillary parts of the team. And you can capitalize off of that, let him run into walls and run out of gas, and that's how you beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that's how the Celtics beat the Oklahoma City Thunder very shorthanded last night.
And we're saying right now that as OKC stands here with a roster with Steven Adams, who can play, and Billy
mm-hmm.
Donovan, who can coach, as the playoffs approach, we're not looking at them as a threat whatsoever, not even in the top four of the West, to be honest with you.
No, I disagree. I think there's a big discrepancy on that. I think if Oklahoma City can find their way out the first round, I'm taking a lot of this from Chris Broussard from Fox Sports, but I think if Oklahoma City can find their way out of their first round, they become more dangerous and more confident. But they're still susceptible to getting knocked out in the first round. I know we got to still get to game balls of the week.
Game balls, baby!
And now, game balls given out by your boy E-Fane and Kyle Beck. Brought to you by Gold Chains and Champagne Entertainment. Hell yeah!
You want to take it first, Beck?
I don't know, man. Money's got to get that music rolling. We got to get that music going. No, I don't want to take
rolling.
It first. I don't want to
take
it first.
I'm
going to
take it first. I got a bunch of them. Congratulations to the FXFL, the Fall Experimental Football League. ESPN is going to broadcast those guys. Congratulations to Vince McMahon with the XFL coming out in 2020, except for the fact that, Vince, you just got ripped off by the AAFC, the third new football league, the Alliance of American Football League. Charlie Ebersol, the son of Dick Ebersol, Big Dick himself, NBC executive, CBS is going to be broadcasting those guys. ESPN is going to be broadcasting the other one. And ABC, well, I believe it also might be NBC, the XFL. Three new experimental football leagues. And the funny thing about old Charlie Ebersol is that he's the one that did the 30 for 30 on Vince McMahon, the XFL. Learned his ins and outs of how he set it up. And then went, stole his idea, went and ripped him off completely. And then went and bought it, did the league, got his investors, and got it a year ahead of him. So, yeah, congratulations, Charlie. You're the dick of the day. Oh, I'm sorry, that's your father. And one more game ball goes out to the entire Florida Gators basketball team from 06-07. I forgot how great of a run those guys had. Joakim Noah, Al Horford. I can't remember the rest of the names off the top of my head because I'm trying to go fast here, man. But, dude, these guys were the real deal. Two back-to-back championships.
Bill Al Donovan, Horford. Al Horford.
Joakim. And then, dude, the dude's still in his league, man. Still in the league, smiling all the time. He plays for, like, six different teams. But, anyways, I don't even want to – I can't remember his name. But, either way, congratulations to those guys. That was a hell of a run. And all those dudes deciding to stick around for one more year. Joakim Noah could have been the number one draft pick. Ended up going number 9 the next year. But they won back-to-back titles because they loved each other and loved college so much. Your game balls, KP. Sorry I took so much time.
Yeah, no problem, because mine's got to be real quick. Cause mine's going to Carmelo Anthony of the what team does Butler Heller play for? This guy plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was supposed to be a big asset to the team. Sorry, dude, but you get to shoot when we ask you questions, dude. You ain't no good. You ain't no problem, and you ain't nobody scared of you in the league. You hit two big threes against the Boston Celtics who were playing their scrubs. You got put on the line, and you missed two free throws at the end of the game with Eddie, it was – it was late. It was late. He missed two free throws late. Carmelo Anthony, that's my game ball because I'm a Celtics fan. Thank you, Carmelo. You missed two free throws. Thanks for the three-pointers, making it tough, making it way more easy for the Celtics to evaluate their players and move on to the future. You are the man, Carmelo. You and all your...